Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. God's will is always victory, always. Never defeat, never failure. And the scripture talks about that he won't allow a situation in your life that you're not able to overcome, that you're not able to, find a way out and a way of escape. And so you may not see it, doesn't mean it's not there. And so no matter how long you've been dealing with a thing, or if it's been really discouraging to you, or you feel like it's worn you out, it's not because there's no answer. It's just because for whatever reason you hadn't seen it yet. Well, the Bible talks about in Jesus' ministry there was a case where a man was paralyzed, and his four friends brought him to the meeting where Jesus was in the house teaching and preaching. And it was such a crowd, they couldn't get to the house. And so they couldn't get through a door. They couldn't get through a window. They couldn't get around. And, it would have been real easy. And a lot of people would have just said, okay, didn't work today. We go back home and just not try. But not this crew. They were like they couldn't find a way in. And somebody looked up.
Yes.
Is there a message there? So, yes. Somebody looked up and thought, there's nobody on top of the house, right? And so, a lot of people that'd be paralyzed or sick, they wouldn't want anybody hoisting them up the side of a house and side of a roof, but I guess he was all in. And so they made a hole and they let him down, and the Bible said Jesus saw their faith. What did he see? He saw they weren't going to be deterred. They weren't going to quit. They weren't going to give up and go home. And that man got his healing and deliverance that day. Can you say thank you, Lord? You can't be one that gives up easy and quits. You have to persevere. So we're looking for answers today, and the Lord will cause us to find them. Father, we all do. We agree together as touching this, and we are asking you for the direction. Show us where to look. Just like they saw where to look, show us the answers. Show us the way forward and the way up and the way out. And we already know you are the way. And so we ask for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, in Faith School here for a number of weeks, we've been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Is that a nice thought?
Yes, it is.
Is it true?
Yes.
Say it out loud, abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always
God's will
for us all.
For us all.
Say it again, abundant provision,
is always
God's will,
for me.
Now, we're giving, like I said, one after another, 30 reasons, not opinions, not theories, scriptures, hundreds of scriptures, you put them all together, why we are fully persuaded, completely convinced that this is true, that this is the case, that God always wants us well provided for. Always wants us to have abundance, plenty of every good thing. And by saying that, you're saying that lack is never His will. Our first reason we looked at was from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. What?
I shall not want.
That same word is translated lack. And we saw several translations that talked about the Lord is my shepherd, I'm never in need. The Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I always have everything I need. Is that true? Is he the good shepherd? Is the 23rd Psalm right? Yes. Except for when? What are the exceptions? You see what I'm saying? People have all kind of ideas about, yeah, but you know, sometimes things just happen. And what they're doing is, instead of finding the will of God from the Word of God, they're looking out here to experiences and lack of experience. And they're trying to say that everything that happens is somehow the will of God. This is not true. Not true. And what we're studying here now, we're down to reason number 17 and 18 in our study, looking at the covenant. And we first spent time on the blessing of the covenant blessing. And now we're going to look at the other side of it. We're going to look at the curse. Somebody says, well, I'm not interested in that. I just want to talk about the blessing. Yeah, you want to know about the curse because you've been redeemed from it. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Look in Galatians, the third chapter again, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's not going to do it soon. He's not in the process of doing it. Hath is past tense. Redeemed is past tense. He's already done did it. Right? You may know what I'm saying. Say it out loud then. Christ
has
redeemed me.
Redeemed.
Already has. But now see, a lot of times people stop right there. They don't read the rest of the verse. Well, I'm redeemed. Well, now the Bible mentions several things about being redeemed. One is what you're redeemed from and what you're redeemed to. So you want to get the whole thing. Here he tells us specifically, Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Does that matter to us in the new covenant? This is New Testament. It don't get any more New Testament than Galatians. Right? This is to the church at Galatia. It's to us. Do we need to know we've been redeemed from the curse of the law?
Yes.
Why? What does that mean to us? Do you know most church-going people, they'd be hard-pressed to tell you even part of what the curse of the law is? Mm-hmm. What is it? Well, if you don't know what you've been redeemed from, does that matter? Does it affect you?
Yes.
Hmm? Yes, because the enemy is an outlaw.
Right.
He'll try to put things on you.
Right.
You've been redeemed from.
Yes.
And if you don't know you've been redeemed, you're liable to just accept it and let it go. And if the devil tells you, yeah, well, this is God putting something on you to teach you and develop your piety, and he's a liar. He's a deceiver. The truth is, God never wanted you to have this. That's why he had Jesus come pay for it and become a curse so you wouldn't be cursed.
Amen.
One of the big things is to understand that when the Lord calls something a curse, you must never call it a blessing in disguise or otherwise. Class, are y'all awake?
Yes, sir.
I know this sounds simple, but most of the church-going world is confused about this. You will hear people attribute things that are clearly designated a curse. And you'll hear Christian and church-going people say that God did it.
Mm.
Or that God brought it into a Christian's life. Or if it's a curse, never could it be God's will for your life.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. If it's a curse,
yes.
Help me out, class.
Yes.
Never could it be God's perfect will for you or me or anybody else. Because he laid it out very clearly. Does he want us to obey him or ignore him? Does he want us to listen to him or rebel against him? he said, if you'll listen to me, blessings.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And then he went on to say, if you won't listen to me, if you reject me, if you serve other gods, if you do your own thing, then the curse will come. So how could it be that somehow now, you know, all these centuries later, that God decides, yeah, I know that used to be the penalty for rebelling against me, but I'm going to use it as a blessing in disguise in your life in the new covenant. No, 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 no. What you will see, go back to Deuteronomy 28 now if you would. Deuteronomy 28 is one of the clearest places to see the details of the curse of the law and the blessing. We have already spent, you know, a couple of weeks on the blessing, and that's good. But we also need to know what we've been redeemed from. Amen. And when you find something that's in the curse, what should immediately be your thought? I'm redeemed.
Yes.
Right? Not I didn't do it myself. Christ redeemed me from this. Because he took that curse on himself, right? Became a curse so that I could be blessed. Now, the language that you will find in Deuteronomy 28 has been something that people have stumbled over, and I understand why. And you'll see that he said in Deuteronomy 28, verse 14, you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day to right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. But it'll come to pass if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. They will come on you. And they will overtake you. And listen to the language. Cursed shall you be in the city. And cursed shall you be in the field. Something about that sounds familiar.
Yes.
Right? What? Go back up. Right? Verse 3 had said what? Blessed will you be in the city. And blessed will you be in the field. Verse 2 had said all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. The language is identical, except instead of blessed, cursed. Why? Well, the curse is in the earth, and without the blessing, and apart from God, everybody in the earth will be under the curse. And it's not that God would have to try to do something to destroy anybody. Without him helping you, blessing you, protecting you, you're not going to make it.
That's right.
Hold your place here and listen to other scripture. Isaiah, the 24th chapter. You don't have to turn there. They'll put it on the screen for us. Isaiah 24, 4 said this. It said, the earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Now these would be people that are defying God, haughty. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Did you know the earth itself is contaminated by the sins of its inhabitants? The Bible said it's defiled by it. Because they've transgressed the laws. They've changed the ordinance. And what did they do? They have broken the everlasting covenant. What's the result? Therefore, has the curse devoured the earth. And they that dwell therein are desolate. And the inhabitants of the earth are burned. And few men left. The curse is pervasive. It's everywhere in the earth. And you'll see as we read in Deuteronomy 28, he gives a lot of detail to see how the curse works. And all of it is against, to restrict, to choke, to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the enemy's work. And it's allowed because of the curse. Is this God's will? When God created the heavens and the earth, and when the Bible said he made this and behold, it was good. He made that and behold, it was good. He made this, it was good. And he looked at all of it and behold, it was very good. Is he looking at curse?
No.
In God's original creation, there was no curse. None. It's even in its fallen, cursed state, this planet has a lot of beauty. But it's only because we didn't see it in its original condition. Because if we did, we'd go, oh, wow, man, we have really fallen. Because in God's original creation, there was no curse. Remember, he kept saying he blessed them. He blessed them. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So the only thing that was working in God's original creation was blessing. That's it. Blessing. And so all that Adam and Eve ever experienced up until their sin and fall was blessing. They didn't know what curse was. They didn't know what death was. There were not even any briars. There was nothing poison. It never got too hot or too cold or too damp or too dry. Perfect. Everything was perfect. And what we see now, Romans 8 talks about that the whole creation is groaning and travailing. And these earthquakes and volcanoes and typhoons and hurricanes and tornadoes and all this stuff, these are the groaning and the whole earth itself is cursed. It's not right. Things are out of balance. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. And in fact, the same thing that's happening to your body is happening to the planet. It's aging. And it's coming a point where it's going to be destroyed. And God's going to create new heaven and new earth, wherein is no curse. Oh, that's going to be so wonderful, so wonderful, so wonderful. If we didn't have more work to do, I'd like to leave and go today. You would too. But we're not done. There's work to be done. This is going to be finished soon enough as it is. But all we have known since we were so rudely slapped to coax to breathe. I mean, that's a way to come into the world, isn't it? I mean, no wonder you went, "Wah!" is a curse. Curse. Darkness. Pain. Problems. That's the earth we live in. But here's the good news. Even though we're in the world, we are not of the world. We are of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Yes. And even though all of the ungodly world is lying, 1 John 5 says, under the power and influence of darkness and the curse, yet the redeemed are not under the curse. Amen. Hallelujah. But the blessing has come on us through our faith in Jesus. But this curse is in the earth. In Zechariah 5, again, you don't have to turn there, but they'll put it on the screen. Zechariah 5:1, the prophet said he turned and lifted his eyes and saw a flying roll. Now, this roll, to us, would be like a book, scroll, a roll. They would, roll it up, and it was written on, sometimes written on both sides. But he saw a roll or a flying book. And the one that's speaking to him said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see a flying roll. It looks like it's about 20 cubits and about 10 cubits wide. It's big." He said, "This is the curse that goes forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that steals shall be cut off as on this side according to it. Everyone that swears will be cut off as on that side according to it. If you go back and read the 27th chapter or so of Deuteronomy, you know, leading up to the 28th, it talked about, you know, he told them to go out to the Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim, and put the law. And they shouted different things. It's recorded, cursed is the man that does this, and the man that does that is cursed. And the man that doesn't, you know, honor his father and mother, and the person that does the, you know, talking about things that contradicted the law, they yelled it. Why? Because that is in the earth. And it has to be, because God is the righteous judge of all the earth. Would it be right for him to bless those that reject him and blaspheme him and worship other gods? The same as those that listen to him and trust him. So what does he do? What must he do? There is good and evil. There is right and wrong. And there is a God, and there is judgment, and the wages of sin is death, and it should be. That's what's right. But the gift of God, hallelujah, by grace and mercy, through Jesus Christ, is eternal life. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But does everybody believe in him? Has everybody received him? Has everybody confessed him as Lord? No, there are millions and millions that absolutely defy the Creator, that blaspheme him, that have replaced him with other gods. This is not okay. And it's not right for them to have his blessing and his protection while they worship other gods. You know, at times in the past, he told his own people that had done that. When they got in trouble and they cried out to him, he said, hey, go to your new gods. Right? You get them to help you. Get them to pay. He did. He told them that more than once, which is only right. They only came to him. I mean, why? They've already been praying to their other gods. It hadn't worked out so well, has it? So, the reason I'm talking about this, God doesn't have to do something to curse somebody. The curse is in the earth. He said he saw that scroll going out wide, and he said, what is that? It's the curse that's going over the whole earth. You remember when Adam and Eve didn't listen to God, and when they listened to the enemy, and he began to tell them, you know, what have you done? And then they told him, and he said, well, talking about Eve, they was going to be cursed in conception and childbearing and in life. And that Adam is going to have to till the ground and the sweat of your brow, and it's going to bring bad stuff, going to bring thorns and thistles and all that kind of stuff. See, curse. Curse. Why are we talking about this? Because Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the curse that's in the earth as the result of sin is not going to be taken off. This present earth is not going to make it. It's going to get to a point where it's going to be destroyed. The Bible said it's going to melt with fervent heat. Something's going to happen to our star and our sun. And that's, the Bible already lays it out. But you and I are just here on the surface for a tiny little amount of time. We got a job to do. Amen. Is that right?
Yes.
And while we're here in this dark, curse-filled place, we walk in the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surrounding us, keeping us, for us, protecting us, providing for us, blessing us. Most people are not aware of that. They don't think enough about it. All of us can have a lot more revelation than what we've had about this. Come on, say it again. I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
Christ has redeemed me.
Christ has redeemed me
from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Go back with me then to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. We started reading it. Verse 16 says, "Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field, cursed shall be the basket of your store, cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep." Identical language to what he said, if you'd listen to God, you'd be blessed. And he goes on to say, "Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." Now tell me again, what is the curse? Basically, it's spiritual forces working against you.
Yeah.
Right? Working against you. And it is not imaginary. It's real. And sadly, most of the earth is living like this. That's why it's so frustrating. That's why it is so wearing. It can be so discouraging, because people are doing everything they can in some cases, and it just ain't working. And it's just, you know, make a little progress and then lose it all, and just cursed. Is that ever the will of God for a child of God? Never the will of God. And you'll find that everything he mentions, and he mentions all kind of sickness, all kind of poverty, all kind of enemies advancing and overwhelming and coming in. If it was ever listed as a curse, it can never be the will of God for a child of God. Ever. Which is why we need to be well versed in what the curse is, to know we're redeemed from it. The enemy tries to work it in our life like he's doing in the whole world round about us. We go, no, you don't know who you're messing with here. No, I'm a child of God. I've been redeemed. I didn't do it. Christ did it. But I am redeemed from the curse of the law. And our time's up again. Well, say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Meditate on this tonight and tomorrow, and come back. We're going to get some more in faith school tomorrow. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.